Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. Today we are in Genesis chapter 17, beginning our study in verse 17. And this is our 16th study through the book of Genesis. We are going verse by verse, of course, as always. And let's pray and ask for God's help. Lord, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're going to study today. In Jesus' name, amen. No introduction. We'll pick up right where we left off. Genesis 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" There are different kinds of laughs. There is the cynical kind of laugh that says, "You are crazy, get out of here." And then there's the rejoicing laugh over something that is good beyond words. That was Abraham's laugh here. Abraham and Sarah having a baby after all these years was impossible, humanly speaking. But God could do it, and Abraham believed he would, too. 18. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Abraham was excited about the child Sarah would have, but he has a 13-year-old son through Hagar, who he is concerned about. Abraham sure doesn't want his son Ishmael put on the shelf and forgotten like a broken toy. Verse 19. Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." This is no time for Abraham to get all sentimental about Ishmael. God has feelings, so he understands our feelings, but sometimes God has to rise above his feelings, and sometimes he expects us to do the same thing. The blessed child will be Sarah's child, not Hagar's. You know, our feelings are not the most important thing in this world. God's will is the most important thing in this world. 20. And as for Ishmael, "I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." Ishmael will be blessed because Abraham, his father, prayed that he would be blessed. You know, you probably can't give your child everything you want to or everything they want, but you can do an awful lot for him or her through your prayers. Verse 21. "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Ishmael will be blessed because of his dad's prayers. But the covenant promises of that land that they are in, the Holy Land, and God's special protection, and the Savior being born through that nation, and the written word coming into that nation, and all in the one true religion, all those promises from God will come through Isaac, who is the ancestor of the Israelites. 22. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. God must have appeared to Abraham in some kind of a physical form. That's because when God finished telling him all that he needed to know at this time, he went up, and Abraham saw him go up. 23. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham obeyed God immediately and completely. He and Ishmael and those 318 fighting men were all circumcised. And believe me, that took faith on Abraham's part. Remember, Abraham had been afraid, probably of an attack by those kings that he has defeated when he rescued Lot, his nephew. Remember that? Well, if Abraham obeys God and circumcises every male in his household, believe me, he is trusting that God will protect him, just as he promised he would. I say it took faith to obey this command, because Abraham and his men are going to be too sore to walk for the next several days, let alone fight. Faith is obeying God and trusting that he will provide as we obey, and that's what Abraham is doing. 24. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And that all by itself took faith. 25. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The Arabs are descendants of Abraham through Hagar and her son Ishmael. The Arabs also do circumcision, but they don't do it the way God ordered his people to do it. On day 8, they do it at age 13. And notice, that is when their ancestor Ishmael had his done, as we see right here. Let's go into chapter 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abraham was sitting by his tent, like you may sit on your porch or your deck. And he looks up, and there were three strangers standing right there in front of him. They didn't walk there. They didn't ride there. They were just there. And of course, that's the first clue that there's something different about these guys. Verse 2. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed down to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Abraham would consider it a favor if these strangers would let him serve him, let him serve them. You know, opportunities to serve others are really opportunities to serve Christ, because it is Christ's will for us to serve people, to be good to them. 4. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant, they said, do as you have said. At the very least, helping strangers is helping someone who has been created in God's image. And it may just be a lot more than that. As was the case here, they were angels, and one was the Lord himself. Hebrews 13:2 says, Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. They're here among us. Verse 6. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Abraham is running all over the place. He doesn't want to keep these men waiting. And so he sets the food before them, and then he stands there while they eat. I think Abraham wants to know the reason for this visit and what these mysterious strangers have to say. Verse 9. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, Here in the tent. These men are not your average strangers. If Abraham did not know that before, he knows it now. No regular stranger would come into a man's home and ask where his wife is. Not only that, but how did these guys know her name was Sarah? There's something fishy going on here. 10. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. There's no sense in beating around the bush, I guess. God opens the conversation by telling Abraham that he's coming back in the spring. And by then, he and Sarah will have that baby that they were promised. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. All her life Sarah had been barren. Now she's 90 and way beyond the age of childbearing. Conventional wisdom would say there's no chance in the world of Sarah having a baby. And I believe that's exactly why God waited until now to give her a baby. Everyone will know that this child of theirs is a miracle from Almighty God. 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Sarah thinks they are out of their mind. Me have a baby? I'm 90 and worn out. Not only that, but my husband is 100. And he isn't quite the man that he used to be either. And so she laughs. And it's one of those, you are crazy laughs. 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" And some would respond by saying, "Why did she laugh? Lord, why are you asking why? She's 90. And you're saying she's going to have a child." Verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Don't ever doubt God's word. When you doubt the word of God, you are doubting God's honesty and His ability or His will to do what He says He will do. It's just a real big insult to God to doubt His word. Nothing is too hard for God. Verse 15. But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Sarah was afraid, so she lied. She tried lying to God. She said, "I did not laugh." But God said, "Yes, you did." God is not only all-powerful and honest, He also knows everything about everything. In other words, you can't fool God. She laughed. Verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. Abraham walked along with the two angels and the Lord as they started to leave. I don't think Abraham wanted this thing to end. And the reason he liked being around them so much is that God is good company. Verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" Notice this. When you spend time with God, all of a sudden He starts showing you things and starts telling you things. And when that starts happening, it's really hard to stop being around God. So He says in verse 17, "And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him.'" I'm sure Abraham knew that Sodom was a bad place. I just don't think he knew how bad or how close they were to being judged by God. But God is going to tell Abraham all about it. Sodom's rebellion and its punishment will serve as a lesson to all who hear about it. And it's especially important for Abraham and his offspring, the Israelites, and his offspring after the faith, which would be us Christians. Very important for Abraham's offspring, both his spiritual and his physical offspring, to know that rebellion against God doesn't pay, and that God means business when it comes to sin. And you know, I think I'll stop right here. And we'll pick up our study next time in verse 20. Until next time, so long, everyone.